This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Well, on Thursdays now, as become customary, we do what we call the entrepreneurial edge. And this is where we just learn a few trade secrets from those who've dared to do it. And today it is the turn of Maureen Nonos Kosana, who's the founder and owner of Nonos Events. If you ever go to Instagram, you will know about them because their events are elegant, opulent, colorful, big, chic, and very much of an international standard. And this is why for many of the who's who in Johannesburg, this is the go-to place for that very, very, special experience that you want to have, be it you're renewing vows, you're getting married, it's a birthday, it's a baby shower, you just want to splash out and you want to, you know, go big or go home, as Americans would say, then you go to Nonos Kosana. Nono, it's lovely to be speaking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, go big or go home. That's what they say in the US.
So much pleasure.
Okay, but
you said, I don't know what else I'm going to be saying.
You're going to tell us what you do. You're going to tell us what you do because you do many things for the who's who, the glitterati, you know, the Ferguson Foundation recently with much loved Connie Ferguson doing a celebration for her late husband. That's who you are. But I think the question is this, you know, there are events and then there are events. And what really separates an event from an event, I would say, is the attention to detail. It's the difference between a tent and a marquee.
Definitely. So what we do is we literally do everything when it comes to an event, because we're not going to say we do large events only. So we do the smallest event you can think of. I mean, where a partner would call us and say, I'm planning a surprise dinner for my partner, to surprise my partner. We take such as well. We do baby showers. We do kiddies' parties. But we also do, like, massive events, like, you know, the Ferguson Foundation, so the TV shows, the Sundowns, Sundowns event, any event you can think of, festivals, so...
So let me just be clear. Let me just be clear. No, I'm a Soweto girl. You can't ask me anything about Sundowns. I don't know. I wouldn't know what is a Sundowns event.
Can we not go to that level of Sundowns or Pirates? But literally, we don't choose anyone. I mean, I have Kaiser Chiefs as my clients. I have Sundowns as my clients. I have, you know, so you name it. So yeah. So any event,
right?
No event store.
And when we say go big or go home, we're not necessarily talking scale. We're talking the level of opulence, the level of investment, the attention to detail, you know, that you're going to have fairy lights and draped ceilings, even if it's a small intimate event, that you're going to bring out the crystal and the china, you know, because it's about making something extra, extra special. And
that's just the thing. That's just the thing. So when you do an event, you need to treat that event as part of advertisement as well. You know, take that opportunity to say, this client has booked me. So when I go and do this event, you must give it your all. Because those people who are coming to that event, they might be your next customers.
Oh, wow.
Hence, we have a lot of returning clients. We really retain customers. So we have a lot of returning clients. So if we come to you and do an event for you, we know that we your family, your friends, we are already there.
Right. You know, I'm going to refer to something completely different. And, you know, I recognize people have the right to use their money whichever way they want. It's yours. You've worked for it. Do what you want with it. But they say that, you know, you've really sort of come of age when you're not spending your money on products, a bag, a car, a watch, but you're spending your money on experiences, memories, moments, the stuff that is intangible. And for me, that's what an event is. It needs to create a memory. It needs to be when somebody says, oh, I was at Owen's wedding.
Event,
And then you can literally smell the flowers and remember the food and hear the music in your ears. And it's something that should never leave you because it was so incredible.
Yes, create a memory. Like, even if you can check also on our Instagram where people comment. I mean, a lot of people will be saying, you know what, you did my wedding when you just started, and people are still talking about it, you know, things like that. So we want, when we do an event for you, it needs to leave, you know, that feeling with you and also the people who are attending that event, you know, with that beautiful memory, you know, for them to, you know what, to think about it for years to come, you know. Mm. Also, you need to be left with that satisfaction. Don't spend your money and then the next thing you're thinking, why didn't I just spend this money on this and that? Do you understand? Yeah. You need to say, wow, you know, I paid so much, but I got more than what I paid for, kind of a feeling. So that's what we're trying to do.
So budgets are always a thing when it comes to planning an event. You want it to be beautiful, but you know, not everybody has 100,000 rands or 70,000 rands on an event. So how do you make the most out of a little bit of money? How do you stretch that budget to give it value?
That's what we are there for. So if you are planning an event, obviously you're going to ask for a quote and then give you a quote. But obviously if the quote is not favorable or it's not within your budget, then you need to speak. And then we can discuss with you as to what we can cut and what we can do this with. You know, there's a way to work around it. Sometimes you just need to cut a number of people. I mean, even COVID helped in a way because now you can do events, very small events, where you can have a beautiful event, but you don't have to call like 500 people. You can do intimate events at a good price within your budget.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. So when you are giving people advice on managing a budget, what do you say to them? So you can say cut the people, but they go, oh no, what about my gogo from KZN? You know, so just practical things for people to think about to really elevate their event by being a little bit more circumspect.
There's a lot of things to consider. I mean, the venues, you know, we have turned a soccer field into something amazing. I'm going to make an example. So Mrs. Wedding, it was just, I don't know whether it was a soccer field or it was just an open park, but we turned it into something beautiful. So you don't have to, you can cut and not book a venue, for instance, just to name a few. And then we can come and bring the marquees, bring the flooring, bring the trees. We literally brought trees to try and make the venue beautiful. So there's a lot of things that you can consider. Hence, I'm saying speak to your event person and then, see where you can cut, what you can do. Yeah, it's easy. It's very easy. I mean,
I once had an event and my thing is I love flowers. Everybody knows that. I love flowers. And I was just told, okay, we are going to give you flowers, but please allow us to do 25% fresh flowers and the rest silk flowers. And I was like, no, I don't want fake flowers. They said, you won't know, but this will significantly reduce the budget. And it did.
Yeah. As long as they don't look fake.
They didn't. They were stunning.
Fake flowers that you can literally see. But if it doesn't look that fake and you mix it with it, I'm sure it can work. Yeah,
there were runners and stuff. So I'm just saying those are the kinds of things that people need to think about when they think, I'm going to have my wedding, or I'm going to do my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. Yes, you can make it spectacular, but there are a few things where you need to cheat. You need a cheat sheet.
Exactly. So you need us to take you through it to see what we can do to try and cheat it, but still get an amazing event that you will think about for years to come. Yeah.
What about Nono also buying local? And I'll give you an example. People think, you know, if for you to have an amazing event, right, you must like pop French champagne, etc. And that stuff is expensive. When you could be drinking Stellenbosch wines made in South Africa, MCCs, that sort of thing.
There's a lot. And there's a lot of brands out there locally. And it can work. I mean, there's a lot. So just to name a few, I mean, DJ Vintle has, Muzli has. There's a lot of local champagnes and wine out there, and you can try and cheat it somehow, yeah.
And on the food, you know, Africans, we love our food and we love our seven-colour meals and that sort of thing. Where can you also start to manage the budget on the catering side?
I think it needs to start with the menu, obviously. So you need to work out the menu to see where you can cut and to see where you can still make it beautiful and have a lot of varieties still. I mean, there's beef and then there's lamb. You know,
right.
There's seafood and then there's, you see. So you need to work on your budget based on all those things. So
right.
To see where you can. But people love also African food. And African food is actually less. It's not the same as, have your sushis and all that, yeah.
Ele gore vele ke di sushi tsa eng mara mo Johannesburg wa tsebeng.
Ah, this day is very sushi. Ke tsena for sushi. Ke sushi guys.
Ke di sushi tsa eng le di chopsticks ya no way thinking. The whole thing is an event. Okay. So, let's start let's find out a little bit about who you are. Nono. Firstly, why are you called Nono? Because your name is Maureen Skosana.
That's my nickname that I was given by my granny, my late granny.
Tell us a little bit about that, please.
I guess when I was a baby growing up, you know, no.
Oh, no.
Like
okay.
The name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's how she was calling me.
I didn't like
the name. And that's why people who grew up with me, they would say, oh, you didn't like this name, but look at you now, you're opening your business, naming it Nono, you know. I really didn't like the name, but for some reason, when I'm older, I actually embraced it.
Yeah, we all have.
I guess
have.
It's the love I have for my grandmother as well, yeah.
And has she been able to witness your success?
That's a sad thing, eh? She was already passed by the time I started the business, yeah.
But maybe she's your guardian angel.
She's watching over me, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely. She is.
Okay,
yeah.
And how did you get into this eventing business?
Sure. Wasn't that a mistake? No, not a mistake. What am I saying?
An accident.
accident, yeah. Okay. So I was attending an event planned by a very close friend of mine. So I loved everything that she did there. You know, it was during those times where the couches were introduced into eventing business, you know. And I loved how she did everything there. And then I just thought, you know what, maybe this is something I can do as a side hustle. And then a month later, that's what I did. I started it as a side hustle. And then as I was doing this business, obviously, it became a challenge because I'm an attorney by profession. I mean, here I'm working at one of the biggest banks in the country.
Yeah.
But during the time when I'm supposed to be doing legal stuff and compliance, I'm busy on the phone talking about couches and tents.
You are non-compliant.
I'm non-compliant, literally. So one of those days I just decided, you know what, let me take time off to try and grow this business and then I will come back. But hey, I'm still going to go back, I guess.
Right.
So it never happened, yeah. It never happened.
And so for most entrepreneurs, you know, they say funding is the biggest issue. Was it your issue? Because I'm thinking if you're a lawyer in a bank, no, that's not the issue.
No, it is. But, you know, how I grew my business, it wasn't a situation where I went and said, okay, I'm buying this furniture and then I want to start this business big. It didn't happen like that. So I bought small piece by bit. Every time when I need extra cocktail, every time I need extra tables, I would buy based on demand. Hence, I always advise people, don't take your pension money or whatever money and go and buy furniture that you're going to be sitting with because you don't know whether you need it or you don't. So I was buying based on demand until I got to where I am now.
What about renting? Because I'm thinking, you know, do you need to own a lot of these assets? You don't need to own a venue.
You don't need...
You know... Do you even need to own the chairs and tables?
That's just the thing. You don't have to. There's a lot of people who are doing this business, but they are renting the stuff. I mean, even myself, some of the things I started by renting them until I realized I'm using them every week.
Okay.
And that's when I bought. Something like, hence, That's buying on demand. You see what is needed. Don't just buy. So whatever you need, you buy. Or you do a situation where some people are just renting everything. You don't need to store it. You don't need storage. You don't need transport. So you just rent. Nono comes and delivers for you. And then Nono takes responsibility of the rentals, the trucks, whatever. Right. So you need to decide whether you want to have them or you'd rather. Because there's pros and cons on both anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I understand that. And I think a lot of people, you know, are grappling with this thing where you want to own a business, but you just think to yourself, do you need to be renting office space and add it to your overheads? Could you work from home, occasionally use a hot desk in a mobile workshop, that sort of thing? So being creative about reducing the cost, the operating costs for you.
Especially for this business, it's very easy to do that. It's very easy to do that. You can do that and then see, as time goes on, whether you do need your own office, maybe a small office or a bigger office where you have small stuff for people to come and see when they need to see what the table will look like, things like that. Mm. Or work from home. I mean, that's events is the easiest business to start. Mm. The easiest business. Don't do it because you see it's easy to start. Do it because you love it, because I promise you, it's not as easy as it looks.
What has been the most outrageous requirement of a customer? Because you say you do bespoke. So bespoke means you personalize the service. So if Lerato says, you know, there was that wedding. In fact, why am I even using myself hypothetically? There was a wedding where people actually hired tigers, like living tigers, to walk down the aisle. It was in Durban. What is the most outrageous thing people have required of you?
Yo, that's putting me on the spot. This one. I'm just trying to think. Outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he won't kill me for this. Moshe, I love you.
We love Moshe Ndiki. Go Moshe, tell us. What did Moshe ask?
It's not outrageous, no? But that's something that went poof because people thought a funeral for a dog.
Oh my gosh.
I guess it's people who don't own dogs, I think. Because if you are that person who loves dogs, I think that those people understood why Moshe had to do that.
So was it a funeral in how we understand a funeral? It had a marquee and everything.
Yes, it was a funeral, yeah. How you understand a funeral, yeah. So there was a backdrop there was, everything, speeches, people there attending, like a funeral.
A podium and everything. A stage and everything.
Yes. Funeral. Yeah. And he also asked me for balloons. So there was balloons for his precious dog. Yeah. So it was a funeral.
How do you manage?
And that funeral went viral.
I know.
Yeah.
How do you manage a difficult client? And I'm going to tell you what marketers often say. They often say the people with the smallest budgets have the biggest demands.
I'm not going to say that, but hey, guys, it's tough. You know what? I believe I'm lucky, though. Most of my customers, they're amazing. They're amazing. Hence, I'm saying I have a lot of returning clients. But yes, there and there, you would find a client who, I don't know whether it's difficult or they just know what they want. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. They just know what they want. And because we try and advise, you must remember, when a client comes and says, I want this, I want that, you obviously advise, how about if we do it like this? And then you find those ones who are just saying, no, do it like that. You understand? So there are those people. And then, yes, there are those people who want, this big event with those, a lot of stuff, but the budget being minimal. But you talk to your clients, You talk to your clients.
And what have been your personal challenges in growing this business, Nono? Have there been moments where you thought to yourself, I think I made a mistake here?
I believe every business has challenges, but I think my biggest challenge was transportation. Hence, we now own a lot of trucks, we own buggies, so we decided to go wild on acquiring our own transport, because people can be unreliable. I mean, if there's anything that we emphasize at Nono events, is time. Hence, when the client knows that we're going to get there at 8, client gets surprised when we get there before 8 or 7 or whatever. So time is very important, and we treat it like that. So if you have to wait for this other truck that you hired somewhere, and then they call you and say to you, I'm on the way. You spoke about time, and then they keep on saying, I'm on the way, on the way. I mean, that becomes a challenge.
That compromises you.
That's been the challenge at the beginning, but I believe we have sorted it out. Okay. Yeah.
So your business has grown. You now employ 30 young people. What kind of a boss are you? And just tell us about, you know, we know that unemployment is a huge social crisis in South Africa. So people are desperate for jobs, and they will hold on to those jobs. But let's talk about that relationship of an employer and an employee.
I treat my guys like family, because that's how this business started. I started this business with my husband, with my sister-in-law, with my brothers, my sisters. So we started it like that. And then we started hiring people. So we've been treating it like that. So even the staff, they know they are part of my family. They're my kids. I don't have to even brag about it. I know where they are. They are listening and they are cheering, because they know this is true. I treat my guys very well. And I see it as in their job, how they do it, how the clients always come back to me and say, but where do you get these people? It's not about where you get them. It's how you treat them. They will treat you like that back. Yeah.
And finally, I mean, a family business can be tricky, right? Especially when it's sort of a medium enterprise, because you're discussing shareholding in a family setting. It's your dream, and others have tagged along. They might change their mind along the way, and the strategy of how to grow it. What lessons have you learned from that experience?
On this one, I didn't start it as a partnership with the family. They were assisting me along as we started. So, when we started, the only staff that we had was, I think it's two guys, but the rest, it was family assisting. So it wasn't like a partnership with them. Hence, it worked the way it did. I don't know about partnership, but it's something that I never thought of. I think I prefer the way I've been doing it. It has worked. Yeah, it has worked like that.
So they are assisting. But at the end of the day, you are still Nono the boss.
I'm Nono the boss, yeah. And it worked. And they know that.
We love it for you, boss lady. Maureen Nonos Kosana, the founder and CEO of Nono Events, just saying, you know, family-owned businesses can be tricky because everybody has to align with your vision. So it's better you remain the sole proprietor and boss, and everybody else is helping, and they can acquire shares along the way. Just some entrepreneurial lessons as we journey along into the remainder of Thursday.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.